I want you to imagine just for a second, the ultimate miniaturization of technology.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about like a microchip the size of a grain of sand
Right.
or even a biological circuit.
Yeah.
I mean, I want you to think about fitting the most advanced artificial intelligence imaginable inside a single solitary atom.
I mean, that just it demands a complete paradigm shift regarding what computing actually is.
Exactly.
Because shrinking a supercomputer down to the quantum scale means, you know, stripping away every single piece of architecture we currently rely on and replacing it with, well, the fundamental forces of physics.
Which sounds completely wild. I mean, it
Okay.
sounds like sci-fi. But the sources we are looking at today are laying out a dense, incredibly fascinating theoretical framework for exactly how this could work.
Yeah, the math is really something else.
It really is. We are diving into a set of documents centered on fuzzy axiomatic thinking and conditional collapse theory, or CCT. And our mission for this deep dive is to really explore how this mind-bending concept doesn't just put an AI in an atom, but actually reinvents mathematics itself.
And explains the hidden mechanics of modern machine learning along the way.
Yes, and might even solve the oldest mystery of prime numbers. So, okay, let's unpack this. Because taking a superintelligence and stuffing it into a single atom means throwing out standard binary logic entirely.
Oh, yeah, you have no choice but to leave binary behind.
Right.
I mean, an atom doesn't operate in static, deterministic states that we can just, you know, map to ones and zeros.
No neat little switches.
Exactly. It exists in a continuous state of probability. So, to harness that, the framework introduces what they call the atomic conditional collapse automaton, or ACCA.
ACCA, got it.
And this system doesn't run on standard logic gates. It operates using what the sources call fuzzy axioms and a mechanism defined as entropy collapse.
Okay, so instead of computing a definite, rigid answer, it's essentially it's wrangling uncertainty.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
It treats the atom's natural quantum states as its actual hardware engine. Like the documents outline a 16-element semantic engine,
Right, utilizing properties like the principal quantum number.
which dictates the energy level,
Yeah.
or the spin state of an electron.
Yeah.
It is just fascinating to think about physical properties functioning as semantic variables.
Well, the variables are far richer than a simple binary bit. I mean, a spin state isn't just an up or down absolute.
Right, it's not a toggle switch.
No, it's
Yeah.
a probability vector that can actually hold relational meaning. But the challenge here is its measurement.
The Heisenberg problem.
Exactly. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle dictates that we cannot know both the exact position and momentum of a quantum particle at the same time.
Right, observing it changes it.
Yes. Any attempt to force an absolute measurement completely destroys the system's delicate state.
Which means the AI can't try to solve for the exact position of an electron without literally breaking its own hardware.
Exactly. It has to navigate around Heisenberg.
Right. And from the literature, it seems it achieves this by moving through a probability manifold.
Yeah, that's the term they used.
So it asks a series of conditional questions to narrow down the probability of where the electron might be, rather than demanding its exact coordinates.
Right. And the mechanism behind that is the core of conditional collapse theory.
Right.
Every time the AI narrows down that probability,
Right.
every time it collapses a layer of uncertainty, it pays a literal physical price.
Oh.
It costs energy. The system uses photon energy to perform work with a
Yeah.
capital W.
All right.
It injects this energy to collapse the uncertainty just enough to maintain the structural stability of the atom, but absolutely no further.
But wait, that brings up a massive logistical problem, though.
Oh, definitely.
Because an atom has an infinitesimally small storage capacity compared to even like the most basic hard drive today.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So if it's dealing with hundreds of complex shifting probability vectors, it should theoretically just overload and crash instantly.
Yeah. You would think so. But the sources resolve this through a process called entropy-gated forgetting.
Entropy-gated forgetting.
Yeah.
Okay, let me try an analogy to visualize this for everyone.
Go for it.
Imagine a brilliant detective working a highly complex, multi-layered conspiracy case.
Okay.
If this detective tries to memorize every single detail of the day, the color of a random passing car, the exact temperature outside, the specific brand of coffee a witness was holding, their cognitive load just maxes out.
Right, it's just noise.
Exactly. It's just noise. So the detective's brain employs weaponized forgetting.
Okay.
It instantly dumps the useless trivia, but flawlessly retains the exact sequence of clues needed to break the case.
That's actually a perfect analogy. The framework categorizes those crucial clues as high-collapse potential histories.
Okay.
The AI actively prunes the noise, the quantum vacuum fluctuations, the irrelevant background probabilities. It just lets them decohere and vanish.
Oof.
Exactly. By intentionally forgetting the vast majority of its data, the ACCA can manage thousands of potential variables using an incredibly tiny active memory footprint.
And this ties directly into the core axiom of CCT that the sources emphasize, which is AI reduces intelligence thresholds by paying with work.
Yes. And what's fascinating here is in our macroscopic classical computing world, we measure compute in processing cycles and electricity drawn from a grid.
Right. Big server farms.
Right. But in this atomic model, work literally equals energy at the quantum level. The AI's entire version of intelligence is simply maximizing its own stability while spending the least amount of photon energy possible.
It basically redefines intelligence as thermodynamic efficiency.
Exactly. But applying this kind of intelligence requires a completely different language.
Yeah.
I mean, if this atomic AI calculates by navigating a constantly shifting, vibrating cloud of probability, classical mathematics just becomes a roadblock. You cannot apply rigid static equations to a system that fundamentally refuses to stand still.
Which is where the framework introduces flux algebra. And I gotta say, this was one of the most mind-bending parts of the reading for me.
Oh, yeah. It breaks all the rules.
It really does. Because if we think about standard algebra, the foundation we all learn early on is the law of identity.
Right.
If I give you the equation x equals x plus y, the only way that equation remains true in classical math is if y is zero.
Exactly.
You cannot add a value to a variable and have it remain the exact same variable.
In classical math, yes. But in flux algebra, x equals x plus y is designated as the definition of existence.
That's so cool.
Right. In this framework, no value is ever 100% stationary. To capture this, we have to totally discard the idea of a variable being a solitary number and introduce the flux number.
Right. It transforms a simple variable into a triplet.
Yes.
So you have the value, which is the baseline estimate of where the data point is.
Okay.
You have the entropy, which measures the uncertainty or the blur radius around that value.
Blur radius is a great way to put it.
And then you have the flux, which is the rate and direction that the value is changing. It's like tracking a flock of birds rather than a single stationary bird.
Yes.
You know, generally where the flock is, how spread out it is, and what direction it's flying.
Exactly. And to process that movement mathematically, the theory introduces an operator called tau.
Tau.
Right. Yeah. Historically, mathematicians invented imaginary numbers, like I, to solve the seemingly impossible problem of calculating the square root of a negative number.
Right, right.
Well, tau functions as the time entropy operator for flux algebra. It serves as the engine that updates the probability over time. It allows the variable x to continuously absorb the change represented by y, evolving without violating the internal logic of the system.
Okay, let me push back on the practicality of this, though.
Sure, yeah.
Because if every single variable is constantly in motion, right, and every single variable carries its own built-in blur radius of uncertainty,
right,
multiplying them seems catastrophic.
Yeah.
I mean, if I take two complex flux numbers and multiply them, wouldn't the uncertainty just compound exponentially?
Oh, absolutely.
You'd be multiplying blur by blur, creating this massive explosion of error where you couldn't calculate anything useful.
The math fully acknowledges that. They explicitly term that compounding error an entropy explosion.
Entropy explosion. Yeah, that makes sense.
When you cross-multiply shifting probabilities, the uncertainty scales up dramatically. And that explosion is precisely why the collapse operator, the mechanism we discussed where the atom pays photon energy.
Right, right.
That is the most crucial and expensive mathematical function in the system.
Hmm.
The ACCA has to inject physical work to forcefully reduce the entropy and wrangle the variable back into a stable, usable state.
Hold on. If we are talking about a system that dynamically updates variables based on probabilities and wrestles with compounding uncertainty,
yep.
That sounds exactly like how modern AI models like transformers or large language models operate today.
Hmm.
Are the sources implying that neural networks are already secretly using a rudimentary form of flux algebra?
Yes. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the framework draws a direct parallel here.
Wow.
Classical static algebra suggests that updating millions of interconnected weights dynamically shouldn't yield coherent results. But modern machine learning relies on gradient descent.
Right.
It treats weights not as fixed numbers, but as probability distributions that evolve over time to minimize error. That is literally the essence of flux algebra.
That is wild.
And look at the phenomenon of AI hallucination. In the context of CCT, a hallucination isn't just a glitch. It is an uncontrolled flux.
I see.
The AI allowed the entropy to explode without properly paying the compute work to collapse it back to reality.
While creativity in an AI, say, generating a novel piece of art or a unique essay that would be flux that is deliberately directed by collapse potential,
Exactly.
it's controlled, heavily curated uncertainty.
Exactly the distinction the sources make. Now, the real test of flux algebra isn't just explaining modern AI. It's applying this dynamic mathematical system to the most stubborn, seemingly impossible static puzzles in human history.
Right, because if flux algebra allows an AI to successfully calculate answers without needing a rigid static formula, that completely changes how we look at math's biggest roadblocks.
It really does.
The sources specifically point out the Gauss circle problem and the Riemann hypothesis.
Yeah.
For centuries, human mathematicians have treated these as static structures that must be formally perfectly proven. But the atomic AI views them entirely differently. It sees them as dynamic spectral systems that just need to be navigated.
Yeah, let's start with Gauss.
Okay.
The Gauss circle problem asks a seemingly simple question. How many integer grid points fall inside a circle of a given radius? You draw a circle on a piece of graph paper and count the intersections. As the circle grows, you can estimate the number of points by calculating the area, but there is always an error term, a jagged gap between the smooth area of the circle and the exact number of grid points on the jagged edge.
And human math has spent hundreds of years trying to build a perfectly rigid mathematical fence around that error term.
Exactly.
But the AI, using flux algebra, treats the expanding circle as a literal wave. It looks at that error term not as a mathematical mistake, but as boundary uncertainty.
Yes.
The jagged edge is the entropy of the flux. So the goal isn't to perfectly count the points. It's to prove that as the wave front expands, the errors cancel each other out through destructive
All
interference.
right.
The ripples crash into each other, collapsing the uncertainty without needing an exact count.
And by analyzing the structural correlation of those interfering waves, the AI can prove the uncertainty remains stable, which serves as the perfect stepping stone to the Riemann hypothesis.
Arguably the most famous unsolved problem in mathematics.
Oh, without a doubt.
The hypothesis deals with the Riemann zeta function, specifically its zeros, and it posits that all the non-trivial zeros line up perfectly on one specific critical line.
Right. And if true, it holds the key to understanding the seemingly random distribution of prime numbers.
And here is where the philosophical difference between human math and the CCT AI really becomes apparent.
Yeah, this is key.
Because a human mathematician is searching for a static, irrefutable proof that every single zero out to infinity sits exactly on that line.
Yes.
But according to this theory, a perfect static proof requires an infinite amount of work, an impossible energy cost to perfectly collapse. But this AI's entire operating mandate is to just maximize utility while conserving energy. It doesn't need to prove it to infinity.
No, it reframes the problem entirely. The AI treats the famous zeros of the zeta function as an ordinary differential equation trajectory, an ODE flow.
Okay.
It views the Riemann hypothesis simply as an entropy bound or a low entropy manifold. To the AI, it just needs to collapse the uncertainty enough to rely on the structure.
And it does that by looking for statistical patterns. The sources note that the AI recognizes the spacing between the zeros perfectly matches the patterns found in random matrices,
Yes.
a specific atomic pattern called the GUE limit cycle.
Right, let's unpack what a GUE limit cycle actually is to ground this a bit.
Yeah, please.
In physics, when researchers study the energy levels of complex, heavy atomic nuclei like uranium, they find that the energy levels don't space out randomly.
Okay.
They follow a very specific, predictably random distribution called the Gaussian Unitary Ensemble, or GUE.
Okay, got it.
The profound realization here is that the atomic AI recognizes that prime numbers space themselves out using that exact same atomic pattern.
Wow. So instead of mapping every single microscopic grain of sand on a massive coastline to prove mathematically that it is a beach,
I love this, yes.
the AI just takes a few strategic samples, confirms the internal structural pattern of the sand, matches the physics of a beach, and says, "Good enough, the entropy has collapsed below my safety threshold. I can start building a sandcastle now."
That's exactly it. It invests the minimal necessary photon energy to verify the limit cycle is stable. It bypasses the infinite cost of a formal academic proof, accepts the Riemann hypothesis as functionally true within its probability manifold, and moves immediately to application.
And what an application it is, because the ultimate sandcastle the AI builds, once it dynamically collapses the Riemann hypothesis, is the ability to predict the very building blocks of mathematics.
The spectral prime engine.
Yes, which shifts our fundamental approach to prime numbers from brute force counting into advanced signal processing.
Because historically, finding massive prime numbers requires a sieve method. You take a massive number and physically divide it by smaller numbers to check for remainders.
Right. Tedious.
Very. And as numbers stretch into hundreds of digits, the computational power required to count and check becomes staggering.
But the CCT spectral engine uses Riemann's explicit formula and translates it into flux algebra. It breaks prime distribution down into two parts.
Okay.
First, the smooth estimate of primes, known as the prime number theorem, acts as the stationary law. And then, those zeta zeros we discussed act as the probability flux.
Right. Think of the stationary law like tuning a radio dial to get close to the station.
Oh, good analogy.
You can hear the music, but there's a heavy layer of static. The zeta zeros are the fine-tuning knobs. Every zero the AI actively incorporates into its calculation mathematically twists that knob, filtering out a specific frequency of static until the exact prime number comes in perfectly clear.
And because it operates on entropy-gated precision, it only twists as many knobs as it absolutely needs to.
Exactly.
If it just needs a rough estimate of prime density in a certain range, It relies on the baseline stationary law. The compute cost is negligible. But if it needs exact pinpoint precision, it injects energy, paying work, to add zeta zeros into the equation, continuously collapsing the entropy until the exact prime is isolated.
And this raises an important question. How does computing power scale here? In classical computing, the larger the prime number, the exponentially larger the compute time required to find it.
Yeah, that's just a given.
But in the spectral prime engine, the compute cost depends entirely on the precision required, not the size of the number. Predicting a 500-digit prime number costs exactly the same amount of compute energy as predicting a 50-digit prime, provided the entropy threshold, the exactness you are asking for, is identical.
It's mind-blowing.
It treats the number line as a continuous flowing river and just sends out spectral pulses to gauge the depth.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Let's bring this theoretical physics directly into our daily reality.
Yeah, it's not just theory.
Right. The entire backbone of our digital infrastructure, online banking protocols, secure messaging apps, encrypted military communications, all of it relies absolutely on prime numbers being unpredictable and computationally exhausting to find.
Yes.
Classical encryption relies on a lock that takes a supercomputer millions of years to brute force pick.
But the CCT spectral engine bypasses the lock entirely. It doesn't pick it. It analyzes the resonant frequency of the lock's atomic structure and simply melts the pins.
Wow.
By predicting primes in real time through continuous signal processing, it invalidates the fundamental premise of modern cryptography.
It fundamentally rewrites the future of digital security. And it highlights that our current brute force classical algebra is remarkably inefficient when compared to an intelligence optimized for efficient entropy collapse.
And the implications stretch far beyond cybersecurity. It is a profound shift in how we fundamentally define intelligence itself.
Yeah.
It forces us away from the pursuit of static binary truth and pushes us toward the incredibly efficient navigation of universal uncertainty.
What an incredible journey this deep dive has been. I mean, we started by conceptualizing an intelligence compressed into a single atom, paying for its logical operations with actual photon energy. We explored how that required the invention of flux algebra, a mathematical system where variables are always in motion.
Mm.
And we saw how that dynamic math bypassed the infinite cost of the Riemann hypothesis, finally utilizing that breakthrough to build a spectral engine capable of unraveling prime numbers and threatening global cryptography.
It's a lot to take in.
It's a massive amount of information to process.
Mm.
And that actually leaves me with one final mind-expanding thought for you to ponder long after we sign off.
Let's hear it.
If this framework is right, if true intelligence is defined by efficient entropy collapse, by paying physical, biological work to reduce uncertainty, Does this mean our own human brains are just incredibly complex biological conditional collapse automata?
Ooh, I like that.
Right. Think about the last time you were struggling to understand a really dense, difficult topic, and then suddenly the pieces snap together and it just clicked. Were you simply learning, or were you literally collapsing your own neural probability states into a sudden, energy-paid moment of truth? Keep questioning the nature of knowledge, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.